Good evening, one and all. Yes, a Tuesday, and here we are with another book and a chat with me, Barry. Yeah, I know. How many of these have we done? I think we're up to coming out to about 1800 now. We've been going a few years of these, and one of the things, obviously, I'm in Connecticut these days, and I was just talking to my guest, and we're due a sort of storm coming here tonight. I think it's like 2 inches of rain overnight were threatened, and gale force winds and stuff like that. And of course, finally, I think we've got rid of the bit of snow we had this week, this last week. But we got the wind tonight. And of course, I was talking to my guest, and where is she? In the desert. I know she's okay with the desert. She likes all the animals and stuff in the desert and everything like that. But so she's there, and I'm here. Well, what can I say about my guest today? She is multi-genred, shall I say? Yes. Well, we're talking a bit more about when we get to chat to her. And I'll tell you one thing, but we talk. Well, no, I'll tell you now. I'll give you a hint. None of her books includes a guinea pig. Okay. Well, I know it's got me going and all. Anyway, I better introduce her, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Trish Arrowsmith. Hi, Trish, how you doing?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I am not bad, not bad. I haven't fallen this week, which lately is good.
That's
I don't know.
good.
I tell you, it's old age, old age and a cat, a dog, and a loose carpet.
I get the cat and dog part,
Yeah.
100%.
But the carpet, I was okay. That was the wife. She went over on the carpet. But the cat's the worst. The cat's the worst, especially if I go down to the basement because I do sort of like online selling eBay and stuff like that. And that's my store down in the basement, right? Well, the cat decides every time to wait for me to start going down the stairs and then tries to beat me to the bottom of the stairs, which means jumping between my
No.
legs. And the cat is not small. The cat is about 18 pound. But he will try, and one of these days he's going to be a head first down the stairs. I know it is. But
Yeah, mine are constantly underfoot, but I don't have the stairs working
ah,
against
well,
me.
see, underfoot is not too. The thing about underfoot is that we have an Akita, and it's at what, 130 pound, and being sort of a one floor thing. We come from the one room into the others, all through the hallways, the bit, the sort of narrow bit, if you like, from the bedrooms at the one side to the living room and the kitchen on the other side, etc. And the dog will lay across the hallway. Not
Oh
small, not small at all. Hard to step over. I keep saying to my wife, it's like the what we have in England, the steeplechase for the horses, the Grand National. I feel like I'm jumping over Beecher's Brook every time I go up and down the hallway. But that's the way it is. But I am okay. One of the things, as I said in the introduction, and it's great to see this, is you are multi-genre because you do what can we say? Domestic suspense, cozy mysteries, mystery thrillers, all the sort of that sort of thing of the sort of if you put mysteries with extra brackets around them, that's what they are really. But it's great, what shelf shall I put this on when you get to the shop? Is that something you just like doing, or are you still sort of looking to try and find your niche?
It's actually something I really enjoy doing. It gets to break up my writing a little bit, gives me a chance to branch out, and I also write in the same genres that I read.
Ah, that makes a lot of
So,
sense, yeah.
the suspense thrillers and mysteries, those are my all-time favorite. They're my go-tos when I'm looking for books to read. Not that I ever really need to look. I mean, I always have books,
All right.
but cozy mysteries are, they're my guilty pleasure.
Right.
Because when people look at me and I'm like, yeah, I read cozy mysteries, they're like, you do? Because it doesn't really match my personality, but I'm like, yeah, I do, and I love them.
What I've got into lately is I put Cirrus in the car, And one of the things, you know, I got it, I put it in there for the soccer and stuff like that, you know, when I drive in. But one of the things I'm into now is the old radio mysteries from the 40s, 50s sort of thing like that. And so there's so many, the Whistler and Johnny Dollar and all this sort of stuff. There's comedies on there as well, mm-hmm. but I love the old mysteries. And of course, I'm there 30 minutes and you're trying to, and if I'm not there, I'm watching BBC with all the detective things and the mysteries they have on that. So I can totally relate to a lot of that. But as I said, you might have all these mysteries, but you won't have anything with a guinea pig in, will you?
I will never include a guinea pig in anything that I write, except my fun facts about myself.
There you are. Love the desert with everything you might find in the desert, under rocks, on top of rocks, you know, everything like dangerous guinea pig. Whoa, God.
I 100%, I am an animal lover. I like all kinds of animals, you know, give me rattlesnakes and rodents,
not a guinea pig.
anything, but do not give me a guinea pig. I have never liked them. I don't think they should exist.
when I was many years ago, back in England, when I was first married, we had a Netherlands dwarf rabbit used to follow us around the garden. And the house next door, they had a load of guinea pigs. So the guinea pigs used to come over and see the rabbit, mm-hmm. you know, with us watching sort of thing. No. And the rabbit used to go around the garden and the guinea pigs, like a train, like five guinea pigs mm-hmm. followed the rabbit in line. They went around the
garden. No. That is the stuff nightmares are made of. I can't. I may never sleep again after hearing that.
What was your first book you did?
My first book was Nursery's Rhyme.
Okay.
That one is a mystery.
Right. Now that's, I think I looked at that. Is that something, The Rock, or somebody called The Rock, shall I say, in that?
Yes. His last name is Rockefeller, but he's a detective. Everybody calls him Rock.
Ah. And were you one of these people who, as soon as you could hold a crayon, you were writing little stories, or yes. you know, what pushed you to write the first book?
Well, I've always loved writing, but my mom used to save, like, you know, all of our school papers
yes.
and
oh,
little
weird
things that we made.
Yep.
It's quite disturbing, actually, but seeing some of the stuff we brought home that we thought was amazing,
yeah.
it was not. And that unfortunately included the bits of writing that I did at that point in time. Awful.
Somebody should have warned me. This is one of my main questions. I always ask this. You know, I say, you know, are there any of these things still around? And in your case,
I have them.
Yeah, because my view is, can you, you know, like you have, say you've got an artist and they have an exhibition going on, you know, and they, all these people are wonderful, wonderful art people that did this. This was their such and such a period. And there's this lady there, the mother of the artist, pulls this creased up bit of paper out with a stick character on with purple hair that's bigger than the house next door to it sort of thing and stuff like that. Yes, but look what they did when they were five.
Yes. That, I mean, the only thing I can really say about that is I can see how far I've advanced
right.
since then. One of the stories that my mom sent me, it was about me and my dad going out somewhere to fly a kite, which, you know, great childhood memories, right?
Mm.
But the story ended the very last page. My last sentence was, there was no wind, so we went home.
Read all the way through it, and then get, oh, but it didn't work. We didn't have any wind that day, so it came up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've learned to expand since then. I've gotten a little bit more to the story.
Great.
Yeah. There's definitely been some significant improvement.
Well, that's good. Couple of, I guess, a series, the Autoed View books.
So altered views includes distorted perception and false reflections. Those two books are a domestic suspense duology, and book two was not supposed to exist. I wrote Distorted Perception. I published it. I love it. All of my readers told me they needed more.
And of course, it's
So,
award-winning. We mustn't forget that.
kind of.
That's good enough.
Hey, you know what? I'm an indie author, so any awards
Yeah,
are
of
good
course.
enough for me. I'll take
Anything like
any
that.
sort of
Yeah, somebody
recognition.
says they like it. That's good
Yep.
enough for me.
That's right. But yeah, so I gave my readers what they wanted, and I False Reflections is like a little it's a novella. It's only
Okay,
about 150 pages, but
And what have you been writing recently?
So right now I'm actually working on a new thriller. It's called The Puppet Hunter. And the main character in the book is not actually a person, it's the town. It's a small town thriller, so you get to kind of meet
Oh, the
all of
weird
the
and wonderful.
characters in the town.
Now, one of the things that I have said on this show since 15 years ago when I first started it, after I wrote my books and decided that I could do better on the people interviewing me, and that's my writing stopped and the show started, is that we have no say in how the books work. We could plot it and write it down, till the cows come home, but the characters lead you. Minor characters want major roles. Some even demand their own books. You can do that, but the characters, people say about writer's block. To me, it's the fact you didn't listen to the characters when they wanted to talk to you that day before, and they won't talk to you because they've got the hump. But you're one of these people who agrees with me that the characters just, they're the ones that lead the story.
They do. 100% they do.
Yeah, I mean,
Yes.
I've had, and I've used this before, but we had a lady on the show, must have been about 7, 8 years ago now. She was historical romance writer, and we were talking, like this about the characters leading you and everything like that. And she said, I think she's quite a well-known author. She was like in the 21st or 22nd book this was we were talking about. And she said, she had the same real issue writing this last book. She said she tried to kill this character off 5 times. Wouldn't go. The character wouldn't die. She ended up having to completely rewrite the whole thing because this character wasn't going to die. Didn't want to die. But my worry when I wrote mine is that, the characters so want to talk to you all the time. No matter what time, day or night, they sort of wake you up at night and tell you the story, sort of thing. That you're going to get a knock on the door one day. It's almost like these characters are from a different universe, a parallel universe. And one day there's going to be a knock on the door. They're just going to go to the door, and there's the characters going to be standing there saying, "You didn't listen to us, you had to come and see you to tell you." But you find that, do you, with the characters and everything like that?
I do 100%. I plan all of my books from start to finish, and the reason that I have to do that is because if I don't, my characters run amok. Like
Oh,
they're
right.
never where they're supposed to be. They're not talking to the right people. They're not asking the right questions. I have one character in, it's a work in progress. I haven't finished it yet, but I have one character who is mute. She doesn't speak. I have been
Oh,
working
and
on
you're
this
writing
book for,
about it, right?
I have been working on this book for 2 years, and she has refused to tell me what her name is.
No.
And I'm like, okay, but if I give you a voice, could you tell me? But she doesn't. And I know how like just crazy that sounds probably to people that don't write, but
That's
our
right. They don't
characters
understand,
write
but
our
writers
books
do,
for us. Yeah, they really do write our books for us. They take complete control.
Of course, most of the your favorite people in your books are your antagonists. Oh, I had trouble saying that. Antagonists, because like a lot of people like watching Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. That, you know, the favorite character is Prince John to most people because, you know, he's that sort of antagonist. Is that, I mean, it, do you really look forward to, well, letting yourself go when I guess you get to the evil one?
Oh, I love him so much. I just absolutely love him because I get to kind of get into their heads a little bit and I get to find out what makes them tick and, you know, why they became the evil person that they are. And that's one of the things, since I, you know, I was young, I've always loved true crime. And that's one of the reasons why is because I want to know what, you know, really makes them do what they do. So being able to write my villains that way is amazing.
I just finished watching a BBC thing called Whitechapel, which is like the Jack the Ripper, but it's echoed into, you know, today's environment. It's like a copycat of Jack the Ripper with the people being killed in the same places, and you know they get aid of a ripperologist or whatever they're called, you know, who does the tours and everything. And it's interesting because it takes you to the places that happened, and you can see the equivalent what would happen in today's environment. It was a nice sort of 6-episode series, a bit scary in
That
places,
sounds
but
amazing.
yeah. Oh, they did that. They did. Then they did the Cray twins after that, sort of. Sons of the Krays, which is the East End, they're sort of the main villains, if you like, of the East End and that. But yeah, very interesting, all that sort of stuff. One of the things that you can do, which I'm very, very impressed with, not about your cooking, but
I can't boil water.
but you can fold a fitted sheet. I never known
I
anybody who could fold a fitted sheet.
can. It looks fresh out of the package.
I mean, that
Is
is,
I mean,
that is,
I
you
don't
know,
know where I would ever use the talent, but I have it,
you have it
and I can
some
brag
TV
about
show where they have a challenge of folding a fitted sheet. It, you
it.
know, that's it. I have, I try, I've watched, yeah, I've watched videos of it, and you try and do the corners, and try to, I cannot do it. I just can't get it
I
done.
can do it. I can fit it right back in the package. It looks
Oh,
beautiful.
God. I start off, you know, it's going to be this, and you fold those together, and I go, just roll it up. It's going to go on the
That's what I see most people do. They try like one or two corners and they're like, forget it. And they just roll it in a ball
just
and
roll
shove it in the
it. We've got, what, six books out now? Let me go. I forgot what it
Six.
was. Six, isn't it? What are you working on now?
The Puppet Hunter.
Oh, you told us, didn't you, the Puppet Hunter? Yeah, is this just taking a time to, or is it because it's, how is, I mean, is this sort of coming along quite good, or are you hitting a few issues along the way?
No, this one is actually coming along very nicely. I am taking my time with this one. It is my absolute favorite.
Right.
I love all the characters in it. I love the idea behind it. So I am really taking my time to make sure I get everything just
Oh, right.
exactly as it needs to be.
Good, good, good. The obviously you said you're, you know, an indie author, independent, you know, author, sort of do yourself and everything like that, which most people do these days. I think the big days of the big, you know, the big people are pretty gone. But the thing that well, I always ask, it's, yeah, I remember when my first book came out, and you've got that first copy of your book in your hand, you know, and you think, that's it, I've made it. And I've had people come on the show who basically give up their jobs because they think, oh, I'm going to be, you know, a huge, I'm going to be this. They don't realize that once you've got the book in your hand, that's when the hard work starts, the sort of
That
getting
is
it out
correct.
there and everything like that. Did that surprise you when you first came across that, yeah, when your first book came out?
No. But so the main reason I think for me is because when I was growing up, my dad was always supportive of everything that we wanted to do, but he was also very honest with what type of reality we could expect. He never set us up for failure. So when I first told him that I wanted to be a writer, his response was, "That's great. But keep in mind, everybody thinks they're a writer.
Yep.
And he wasn't doing it to be vicious or, anything like that. He was doing it so I kind of knew what I was getting into. And one of the reasons it took me so long to publish was because I couldn't decide whether I wanted to do it myself or try to get an agent and a publisher. But I did the research. I talked to people. I was in, writers groups and chat rooms and
Yeah.
everything, and I went into it knowing what to expect.
Good.
And of course, you always want a little bit more, but you have to look at the reality.
Oh yeah. I mean, I always use Steve Berry comes on the show nearly every year because he brings a fresh book out every year, and I always use him as an example. He spent 10 years of rejections before he got accepted because his sort of adventure type genres thing wasn't all the rage. And then Clive Cussler came along, and suddenly it was the thing that everybody wanted. And his I think he had 10 rejections, 10 books being rejected everywhere, and five of them eventually got accepted after 10 years. And the other five, he plagiarized to make some of the other books up with and stuff like
Oh.
that. And look at him now. But and that's the thing. I think people got to realize that. I've had, as I said, I've had people sort of come and they're, oh, I'm going to be I'm giving job up. I'm going to concentrate on this. I'm going to be the next famous writer. And it doesn't happen. I mean, how was it? Something like about 1,000 books a week come out or something like that. It's huge, ridiculous numbers these days. And
It
you're not all. Nobody's going to do that. I mean, yes, you've once your name's out there and you build up a following and that sort of thing, then you can start doing this. People look forward to when, as you said from the other, when's the next book coming out? I mean, but as soon as one book's out, they're asking you for the next one, sort of thing.
They do. and it's almost impossible to keep up. But yeah, it's just, it's really hard to get your name out there. But I have noticed with every single book that I put out, I gain a couple more followers and a
That's
couple
good.
more
That's good.
readers and a couple more people, reach out to me and send me messages and follow me on, social media. So it takes time and dedication, but it's 100% worth it.
No, it is indeed. It is indeed. Well, this has been great chatting to you, and we only mentioned guinea pigs a couple of times. But what I'm going to do
I
is,
cringe every time.
what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you and have you tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, all your books. So over to you.
Sure. Thank you. So all of my books can be found on Amazon in ebook format and paperback. They are on Amazon and are also available through Ingram Spark, so you can get them at Waterstones and Barnes and Noble. I am on pretty much every social media site you can find. All of my handles are under Trish Arrowsmith Author.
Okay, well, that's great. Thank you, Trish. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show today. It's been great chatting to you. And the fact, as I said, the fact that you do this diversity, I think it's wonderful. I always had issues that where my sort of YA books would end up on a shelf because somebody said, oh, well, there's a good Christian, it's a good Christian story, and then somebody said, yeah, but they did this one bit and it was really bad. I thought, what? I didn't read through it. What bit was really bad? And I mean, it was. I sort of got friends. Hang on, when my hero Fred lands in, he's from England, comes to America, and they're picking him up from the airport and that. Of course, we don't go red through turn right on red in England, obviously. But and of course he's half asleep, and they suddenly go through a red light, and he says. He says, yeah, it's bloody hell, and that's what the person said was bad. My mother used to say, blood is in the Bible, blood is in the book. If you don't bloody believe it, take a bloody look. I always remember saying that. But they said it was a bit suspicious because this whole one bit of word, it's the only thing I can find in it, but. So it depends who reads and what shelf it goes on, I guess, but it doesn't matter. In your case, you can take all the shelves up, so that's the thing. Anyway,
Yeah,
good.
I'll just have one book on every shelf.
Yeah,
It's
one book on
fine.
every shelf, that's it, yeah. Good luck with the new book when it comes out. And perhaps when it does come out, you'll come back and chat to us again.
Oh, I hope so. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Trish Arrowsmith. And you do Chris Arrowsmith Author. And you'll find her. Yes, you will. That's where she is. Look for that. Trish Arrowsmith Author.com. And that's her handle on all the various media things and everything like that. Well, I'll be back tomorrow with a fresh author. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.